Work shouldn't feel like a drag, and you shouldn't have to sacrifice your soul for a job you love. Determined to rethink the future of work, she's out of her depth on purpose. With fresh ideas, interviews, and stories from her life on the road, meet Europe's newest digital nomad, Blair Palmer.
Hello and welcome to episode 68 of A Brilliant Gamble. I hope you are really well. Where are we today? Well, we are still in Wales. We've moved down a bit. We're in mid Wales now in Tregaron. We're staying here for about a week. We've been here for 4 or 5 days now, and it is a bit better to be in a house for a bit longer. The last house we were in probably for 5 days, so just as we were getting settled, we were packing up to leave. In this house, it's still only 7 days, but that seems to make quite a big difference. We've really made ourselves at home, and we love being here. We've even had a couple of days just lounging around on the sofa, which is interesting because when you're on holiday, you do want to make the most of every single day and make sure that you're going out and finding local things to do and just sucking the marrow out of the experience. But of course, you can't do that when you're traveling full time. Firstly, you just can't afford it to be active every single day. But also, you just can't live that way. You just need to have some days when you're sitting around in the house watching TV and eating chocolate, which is what we did for most of the bank holiday weekend. In a few days, we will be leaving here and we will be camping a bit more. We're moving down via our old house just to check in on that and see how the sale is going, then down to the New Forest. I may be recording this next week from the New Forest, I'm not absolutely sure, but then we're jumping on a ferry and we're going over to France, and we'll be in France for about 3 weeks. And that again is a change to be in a different country and to be there for a bit longer. And it does feel a little bit intimidating, but I'm sure I'll tell you once we've arrived and sort of settled in how it is to really be somewhere quite different. Today's podcast is all about where this most recent adventure started for me. And I was trying to figure that out, and I was wondering, well, do I have to go back to my childhood? Do I have to talk to you again about when I was at the BBC and leaving the BBC? And I thought, no. This most recent adventure started with me letting my hair go grey. Now, as I've said on other shows, on other episodes, I've done a few radical things before that. I left the BBC to become a coach in 2000. I moved to the countryside in my 30s and renovated a 350-year-old house on my own. But the grey hair thing has led me in a direction that I had no idea about when I made the decision to go grey. I should say that I'm not suggesting that everyone lets their hair go grey. It's not about that, any more than I'm suggesting that everyone should pack up their belongings into a camper van and travel around Europe with their kid. It's more of a symbol, really, for something that I've been trying to do and that I think more and more of us, maybe it's a life stage thing or maybe it's something going on in our society right now, but something that more and more of us are trying to do. And for the last few years, I've been trying to find myself again, or maybe for the first time, trying to understand who I am under all the layers of social compliance and people pleasing that had become the norm for me. You get to a point in your life where you realise this is it, this is my life. I'm not working towards something, there's no prize for the winner at the end, and I'm not a kid anymore. If I'm not allowed to be myself now, if I don't give myself that permission, it's never going to happen. And I started to picture myself as a 60 or 70 year old woman, still worrying about what people thought about me. Still trying to avoid ruffling feathers, still getting upset by the same things, worries about how I look or my weight or whether I'm living up to my potential or whether I'm really living my life or letting it pass by. And it really frightened me. It frightened me to think of myself in my 60s and 70s when I sort of imagine I should be over it, still worrying about those things. And I started to think, well, if I don't want to be worrying about it in my 60s and 70s and beyond, when am I going to stop worrying about it? If not now, when? Now, the problem when you're trying to make a change in your life, when you're trying to do this unpeeling and find who you really are or rediscover yourself again, the problem is often where to start. If you're not used to disrupting your life, it's natural to feel stuck and to feel stuck for quite a long time. Now, either you know what you want your life to be like, but you can't imagine how you can make it happen. There are seemingly too many obstacles, or maybe you feel you're being unrealistic, or you have too many fears, or you don't know what it is that you want, so you're paralyzed with indecision. I had a feeling that life was out of sync for me because I'd lost some joie de vivre. I was frankly a bit bored. But there was also a tension for me between what I was saying I believed in and how I was living. Authenticity, being yourself, finding your true self, leading from there was my ethos from the stage and in my coaching with clients. And I only saw good things happen when my clients revealed more of who they were. I loved to see it. I never thought, actually, you might want to keep that bit hidden. You might want to keep that bit to yourself. I never thought that. Even the stuff that they thought was unacceptable was beautiful to me when it was revealed. Their vulnerability, their shyness, their true beliefs, their insecurities all made me love them more. And it made others warm to them more. It made them more impactful at work and happier in their personal lives. I saw a great weight was lifted every time they chose to reveal more of who they were. Yet, every 2 weeks, I was dumping black hair dye on my head to erase an increasingly white line that appeared at the top of my head with alarming frequency. I mean, to be honest, dyeing my hair every 2 weeks wasn't enough. And the thoughts that I had about stopping doing that were the same thoughts that my clients had before they took the decision to reveal more of their true self. There was nothing unique about my reservations. They just happened to be about my hair. So it occurred to me, well, if my clients can do it, if my clients can overcome these fears and concerns and reservations, and if I'm the one helping them to do it, then if I'm coming up against the same fears and reservations, then I can do it too. Very few people were enthusiastic about my decision at first. Now, this is unusual because I have a very supportive group of friends and family, but going grey is such a social taboo. It's so rare for a woman in her early 40s to go grey that I don't think that most people had really ever thought about it. They were repeating not only their own fears about going grey, but a kind of generalised societal feeling that they'd never had cause to question. And by the way, I was exactly the same. I always said I would never go grey until then, until the moment when I thought maybe I should do this, maybe the time is right. So I started doing what I always do. I started researching, I started reading stories of other people, I started following some blogs, I was looking at photos, I was joining communities, and I felt the same about these people as I did about my clients. I didn't think that anyone looked worse afterwards than they did before. I was proud of every single woman and man that I saw who did this. And I thought that they represented something as well, a kind of boldness and a maturity that I was ready to embrace. Something quite interesting happened as well, which was that I realised that I didn't want to feel or look young. Most of the people who had reservations on my behalf were saying that it would make me look older. And I realised I didn't really mind. In fact, I was motivated by a desire to embrace the wisdom of age, not to be trying to find myself still or trying to fit in or any of those things. I was over it. I wanted to embrace who I was. I didn't want to wait to be 60 or 70 or 80 to embrace my true self if I could start in my 40s and have 40 or more years of living that way. So the idea that I might appear older or that I might appear more serious or any of those things that people associate with being grey, I realised I didn't care about those things anymore. There are three phases to any transition. So this applies to going grey or to anything else that you might want to do in your life. The first is talking about it and thinking about it and planning it out. The second is the transition itself, and the third is when the transition is complete and you have a new normal. Phase one is Great fun, but it's a complete waste of time. You're anticipating how it's going to be, but you can't be right because you have no experience. Even if you've done tons of research, you have no personal experience about the journey that you're about to embark on. So in my case, I bought a lot of products. I had special products for hiding the grey line as it was coming through. I had various grey ponytail things that I thought, well, if I attach this fake bit of hair to the back of my head, it will cover up the black that's still there as the grey is coming through. I had all sorts of fancy stuff that I'd seen online. I hardly used any of it. In the end, I just had to have the pain of bad hair days for about 18 months. So that's phase one, the planning and the thinking about it. Phase two is pretty painful. In the case of going grey, you don't look good and you don't feel good. And you have very visual evidence, which you want to explain to everyone. You want to say to people, I'm doing this on purpose, but you can't. You just have to accept, I was going to say you just have to get comfortable, but I was not comfortable at any stage with this. You just have to accept that people may or may not be judging you and that there's nothing you can do about it. So even if it's not going grey, whatever it is that you're doing, there will be a period of time during the transition that you don't feel good about the change. Because it's something new, it's something different, and in the case of going grey or anything that's very visual, it's possible people are judging you, and then you're having a lot of lovely internal dialogue about that. Phase three is when the transition is complete and you've got your new normal. And again, this is probably not going to be what you expect. Now, I do love my hair. I love the colour that it is. I'm really thrilled that it's very, very white, as opposed to sort of salt and pepper. I would be happy with that too, but I'm really glad that having been through all of that pain and discomfort and 18 months of bad hair days, that I have something really radical at the end of it. But I do have some kind of strange feelings. So sometimes I actually miss the transition phase. It was an adventure, and now it's done. I wouldn't go back, of course. I'm not planning to dye my hair again just so I can go back to the transition. And now I'm on a new adventure anyway. But there is something emboldening about going out every day into the world, knowing that you're doing something proactive and brave for you anyway, that gives you a sense of purpose. And even though I've now transitioned and my hair's been my hair for, you know, months, possibly even more than that, I've slightly lost track, but certainly a year, that it's been fully transitioned, there are still days when I wonder what people are thinking. I have, this is awful, it feels awful to tell you, I have been mistaken for Ivy's grandma a couple of times by people who clearly aren't looking at my face but just seeing grey and leaping to a conclusion. Even other grey-haired people have done this. Although I will tell you, it doesn't feel as bad as you'd think. I'm telling you feels uncomfortable, but actually when it happens, it doesn't feel as bad as you'd think. And as a single woman, I've very much appreciated the couple of times that a man has come up to me and complimented me on my hair. And a couple of times it was a stranger that did this, which was even more delicious. But of course, it was never about doing this for other people. So whilst I do get a lovely warm feeling when someone says something nice about my hair, it was never really about that. What going grey did for me, though, which I never would have anticipated, was that it opened a door to other opportunities to be more myself, to reveal more of myself. I don't know if I'd be doing this traveling digital nomad world schooling van lifing adventure, for instance. I'm not sure I could do this if I hadn't experimented with the hair first. Which leads me to the lessons from the experience that can be applied in any situation where you feel stuck. And I've applied these lessons ever since. They're things that I learned from the transition to going grey that have changed me. The first is, what other people think of you is none of your business. Now, you might think it is. You might think that you do have an obligation to take account of what other people think of you, but I've come to believe that really that isn't any of your business. Your business is what you think, how you behave, the judgments you have of yourself and other people. That's your business. What's not your business is what anyone else thinks and how anyone else behaves. And the lovely Byron Katie, the amazing inspirational Byron Katie, says that the whole time that you're in someone else's business, caring about and trying to influence what other people think and what other people do, who's in your business. So this was very important to me during my year of grey hair transition. It's important to me now. Other people are going to have opinions. Some of those opinions are going to be supportive and encouraging, and some of them aren't. Really, it's none of my business. Secondly, to change, you may need to let go of something or some things that you thought were important when you were younger, things that no longer serve you. With the hair, it was about looking young. I had to let go of this belief that I'd had throughout my life that looking young or looking like you're in your 20s or 30s was important, and that if you looked your age or even if you looked older than your age, you had somehow let yourself go or let yourself down. I really had to let go of that and think differently about aging and maturity as something that was to be embraced and reveled in, as opposed to something that was to be avoided. With taking Ivy out of school, I needed to let go of the idea that I needed time to myself during the day, this big chunk of time in the middle of the day to work, and that I couldn't succeed if I didn't have as much time. I had to really let go of that in order to have Ivy out of school. With going on this journey, it was my attachments to my house and my car and to having my stuff around me and living in a way that people would understand that I had to let go of. All through my life, and it'll be the same for many, many people, having the nice house and having the nice car and living in a particular way, spending the weekends going and buying nice things for yourself. These things are what it's all about. It's all about working towards that and then finally arriving and saying, oh, I've got the house and the car and I'm here. And I had to let go of all of that and get used to living in a different way, in a way that other people might not understand. So that's the second lesson from the grey hair transition. And the third lesson is related to the hero's journey. Now, I've talked about the hero's journey before. I will definitely talk about it again. I love it as a concept of storytelling and of change. What's really important in the hero's journey is that even though the story normalizes at the end, our hero returns to the life that they kind of is familiar to them, they are changed by the experience. Every time you take a bold action, you disrupt the space-time continuum. We were just watching Back to the Future the other day, and this idea of the space-time continuum really appeals to me. Every time you take a bold action, you disrupt the space-time continuum. You cannot ever be the same after that disruption than you were before. So take a small action, even if it's just to change your hair. You will find yourself in a different parallel universe where a whole lot of new opportunities and new adventures lie in wait for you. That's it for today. Please stay in touch. Please sign up to the newsletter. If you go to brilliantgamble.com, you can sign up very easily to the newsletter. You'll get your free 3-part gamble guide and then access to all sorts of information about what I'm up to and how you can get involved and little tips, exclusive tips and advice and all kinds of stuff that we're providing for newsletter subscribers. So do that. Please also review and comment on the podcast. The best place to do that is iTunes, as it helps to push us up the rankings and more people can find this show. And do, of course, please share it. If you've enjoyed it and you've got something from it, please share it with your buddies and your colleagues. With more details about how to do that, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
To hear from you, you can get all the episodes of this show, plus read the blog and find out more about our travel adventure at www.brilliantgamble.com. Sign up to the newsletter and get an advance notice of the classes and programs Mummy is running. Plus, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Brilliant Gamble. Finally, please leave a review and star rating for this podcast on iTunes, as it helps people find us and take a brilliant gamble of their own.